And that's why the title of today's sermon is Clockwise Living. Clockwise living. You know, the hands of a clock are always moving forward. They're always moving forward. And if we're not moving forward, if the hands of the clock are not moving forward, we call that counterclockwise. It's counterproductive. It's not moving in the right direction. So as believers in Jesus, we need to be moving forward in our faith. We need to be moving forward in our spiritual journey as believers. We need to make the most of every opportunity, growing in wisdom according to the scriptures. And so I want to just jump right into it. Because of the wind, I didn't bring my Bible out, but I have the verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, and it starts in verse 15. Here's the passage. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise, making the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. The very first thing in that passage says to be careful how we live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are the wise. That almost sounds like advice a parent would give their child, right? Be careful how you live. Don't be stupid. Make good decisions. You know, if we want to live calculated, clockwise lives, then we have to be careful in all that we do. You know, a clock is very calculated. I mean, we've got the Apple Watches and everything we have is digital now, but I remember growing up, my grandfather, when we would visit every evening, if I think correctly now, at the same time, he would have a clock on the wall. It was an old clock from the 1800s, and he would put a key in and wind it. You know, it didn't have batteries. It wasn't electronic. But it had all these mechanisms in it, these wheels and these dials and things that were moving in all different directions. But they all worked in harmony with each other in order for the hands of the clock to move forward and tell time. And that's how we as believers need to work with each other and work with those around us. It needs to be calculated. It needs to be precise. And so we need to be intentional on being careful how we live. Because here's the thing, church. We never know who is watching us and who is paying attention to what we're saying and what we're doing. And also, we have to be careful not to go through life living carelessly without the fear of the consequences of our actions. And then, so the next thing that passage says is, don't live like fools, but be wise. I could say that to myself almost every day. I could look myself in the mirror and say, listen, Chip, just don't be stupid today. Can you just make a good decision? You know, that passage right there speaks to me really well. But the question is, are we actually living like that? Or are we living carelessly? You know, to me, don't live like fools, but live like those that are wise, is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You know, knowledge is the fact that I know what the right or wrong thing to do in this situation is. I know what I should or shouldn't do. Wisdom is taking that knowledge and applying it to your decision. So when we apply the knowledge that we gain from our experiences, we now are able to make wise, calculated decisions based on those experiences in life. You know, maybe you made a bad decision. Maybe you really messed up. Maybe something happened. Well, go back and rectify it. Talk to that person. Do whatever you need to do to fix it and move forward. You know, that's using wisdom, that's applying wisdom to the knowledge that you've now learned from a situation. But then that passage goes a little bit deeper, and it talks about making the most out of every opportunity in these evil days. You know, this was written almost 2,000 years ago, approximately, right? But that is present tense in these evil days. So I have to ask myself, have things gotten any better? I wonder if things have gotten any better, because a man named Paul wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus, and he is saying, make the most out of every opportunity in these evil days. Have things gotten any worse, or have they gotten any better? And here's the other thing. Are we making the most of every opportunity? Or are we just going through life paying attention to what we need to pay attention to? You know, there's something that all of us have that we can use for this sentence here. And I'll give you a hint. In the New King James Version, instead of saying make the most out of every opportunity, it says redeeming the time. Every single one of us have time. We may not have as much money as that person. We may not have a vehicle like that person. We may not have a job. We may not have this. We may not have that. You know, we're human beings. We go through life always comparing ourselves to the person that's doing better than us. But something that we all have that goes across the same plane equally is time. We all have time. Out of all the resources God gave us, time is the most valuable. I mean, think about it. Once time is gone, you can't get it back. Once something has escaped your mouth, you can't get it back. Once you've made a decision, and it was a wrong decision, you can't get it back. You can't bring back time. You can't manufacture it. You can't duplicate it. Once it's gone, it's gone. And I think that's what the writer, Paul, was trying to tell us here. Make the most out of every opportunity that you have. You have a thought that runs through your head to tell this person about Jesus? You better act on it. Make the most out of every opportunity. And then there's the last part, which tells us not to act thoughtlessly, but to understand what the Lord wants you to do. We can all have days where we act thoughtlessly and carelessly and we can redeem that time, so to speak. But do we all know what it is that the Lord wants each one of us to do? You know, we cannot go through life saying, I'm going to live a calculated, clockwise life and not know what the Lord wants me to do. We have to be paying attention to that. For instance, are we aware of what's happening to those around us? Are we paying attention? Are we paying attention to the hurts and the cares and the needs of those around us? Or are we focused on ourselves? I think if we're focused on ourselves, I think that can be a dangerous way to live. Because what I think happens when we start doing that is we don't hear what it is that the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us about. If I'm not focused on those around me, but only myself, I'm not going to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit as to what I should do in a certain situation or what it is that the Lord wants me to do. You know, if we're not paying attention to what it is that God wants us to do, we will have a tendency to drift away from the truth of the Scriptures. That's what happens. Because we're no longer focused on the Scriptures, on what's going on around us, but we begin to focus on ourselves. And listen, I'm not making this up, because in Hebrews chapter 2, it says this, listen carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. If we're not paying attention to the truth of the Scriptures, we'll drift away from it, because we'll start having our own ideas and our own ways and our own things. And really, for me personally, this is kind of a concern that I have with people during this whole virus thing that we're going through, this quarantine. Because what I've noticed is happening is not everybody is meeting together like they should as the body of Christ. And it's no fault of our own, really, because we've all been forced to do online church. Those of you that are here today, we are meeting as the body of Christ. But I want to take it a little bit deeper. First of all, as much as I love that we can do online church, can I just be honest with you? I don't like it. I don't like it. I like the fact that we have an avenue that we can get the gospel out. But I would much rather see you guys every day, every Sunday, once a week. I would. Even, yes. But we but we at least we have the internet, right? But here's the other thing. Listen, I know that there's some people that don't like online church either. And so what happens is they have drifted away from even getting that little piece of the gospel because they're just not happy about it. And it goes a little bit deeper than that. What about our small groups, our life groups? You know, for a couple of months, our life group met online through Zoom. Well, I didn't like that, but we were able to meet. Is everybody doing okay? Does anybody need any prayer? Does anybody, you know? And we were able to connect. And then we started meeting outside. You know, life groups, Pastor Dave preached a message last week about what we call redemptive relationships. Life groups, small groups, is where you form friendships within the body of Christ that go deep. That if I have a problem or I have something going on at 2 a.m., I can text somebody. I can call somebody. I can get prayer. I can get things taken care of. I can talk to somebody. You know, if here I'm just going to put in a plug for small groups. If you think that coming to church on Sunday mornings is enough, it's not. Sunday mornings is what we call going wide. And life groups is where we go deep. That's where you get those lasting, long, lifelong friendships. But you know, also throughout this quarantine thing is, I don't fault anybody for you know, not being happy about things because our routines have been messed up. Our routines have been, we're trying to figure out how to do life. We're trying to navigate through what we're hearing. Do I believe this? Do I believe that? What is the truth? I don't think any of us really know. But if we as believers in Jesus are not making the most out of every opportunity to share the love of Christ, we will drift away from where He wants us to be. And then, do you know what happens after that when you start drifting away? Because it doesn't happen overnight either. We always have this idea that we can make it on our own, we can do it on our own, and then the next thought that pops up is, I don't really need to go to church. And then what happens is, we forget why we exist. It's part of our human nature. It's part of our human nature to focus on ourselves as opposed to being intentional on focusing on those around us. Listen, I'm speaking to myself too. It's much easier for me to go through life paying attention to what my needs are, my family's needs are, my hobbies, my life, my job, my this, my that, than it is to pay attention to those around me. That takes work. And that means being intentional. But that is what the body of Christ is here for. I mean, let's face it, for the most part, human beings can be selfish. And I don't fault anybody really for that, because that's who we are. We have to be intentional on getting into the scriptures, on forming friendships in church. And even if you've had a friendship in church that hurts you, you've got to be intentional on getting another one. because you'll find the right one that will take you through life. And even for me, you know, I am more apt to think about my own needs and what I need to get done than I am to think about those around me. But I have to be intentional on that. I believe that's what Jesus wants me to do. Because if I'm not doing that, then they're not going to do that, and the next person on down the line. Remember, there's always somebody watching what you're doing. And you know, that's who Christian Harrison was. Christian Harrison paid attention to everybody around him and made sure that they had more than enough that they needed to get through life. Am I right? And this is why I believe Jesus summed up the entire Bible with this: love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If this is not at the forefront of who we are and what we do, we will easily forget about putting God first and our neighbor second. So the question remains out of that sentence: what is it that God wants each one of us to do? Well, for beginners, I'll tell you what he wants. If you're not comfortable reaching out to somebody, work on yourself first, because here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to be like him. At the very beginning of this chapter in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be imitators of God. First and foremost, he wants us to be like him. How does God love me and take care of me? Think about that and then say, okay, I can do that for somebody else. And, you know, in order to be like God, it takes, I didn't say be God, be like God. It takes calculated, intentional living. You have to be intentional. It takes work. But as believers in Jesus, each one of us have a specific role to play within his kingdom. Each one of us make up this giant puzzle that forms the kingdom of God. And we all have a piece. We all have a part to play. The puzzle doesn't fit together until each one of us know what God wants us to do. And so, how do we know that that's what we're to do? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, grow in every way more and more like Christ. So you've got be imitators of God, grow more and more in every way like Christ. Well, to do this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a journey. And to share the love of God with others is a part of our spiritual journey. We're all on this journey in life. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do good. We're all going to have highs and lows and good days and bad days. But as long as we're moving forward, my daughter has a great saying. I love it. It says, even if I fall on my face, I'm still moving forward. I use that a lot. As we grow more like Jesus, we become spiritually healthy and wise, able to make wise decisions, and we will begin to make the most out of every opportunity. And so my prayer today is, in honor of Christian Harrison, that this message stirs something up in each one of us. That when we go home today, we think about a way that we can be intentional on making sure that we are moving forward in our spiritual life in a clockwise manner. And then also, just a little addendum to this, is we do have an enemy out there that wants to keep you from growing more and more like Jesus. If you don't think you're going to have any opposition when you do this, I got news for you. You will. But here's the thing. The enemy will try all he can do to keep us from moving forward in our spiritual lives. And one of the things that he likes to do is to keep us feeling good about the progress that we're making. He likes to remind us of the mistakes we've made. He likes to bring feelings of guilt, condemnation, distractions, excuses. And the enemy will constantly bring up our past in order to keep us from moving forward. That's what he does. That is counterclockwise to the way Jesus wants us to live. And listen, we've all got a past, right? The enemy will constantly remind you of that. But here's something that I think will help. First of all, when you're driving a car down the road, you have a rear view mirror. Is the rear view mirror there so that you can stare in it while you're driving down the road? No, because if you do, you're likely to crash. You should look forward, always look forward. You glance in the rear view mirror. Make sure everything behind you is good. Did I make a mistake? Fix it, move on. You know, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he was a Jewish religious leader who hated Christianity. He tortured and killed those who believed in Jesus. And then he had this crazy encounter with Jesus himself, and he ended up writing most of the New Testament. You don't think he had a past that haunted him? So here's what he tells us in Philippians chapter 3. One thing I do is forget about the past and look forward to what lies ahead. We've all got things behind us that we're not happy of, that we don't want to think about. Man, Paul had a past that probably haunted him to no end. But I believe he heard the words of the Holy Spirit that said, Paul, don't worry about it. Your past is your past. The future is where I want you to stay focused on. You know, when it comes to our spiritual journey, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to be reminded of our past, and we're going to come up against obstacles. But Jesus doesn't look at who we once were. Jesus sees the potential that we can become. Can I say that again? Jesus doesn't look at who we once were. He sees the potential of who we can become. So all those feelings of inadequacy, or all those, you know, yeah buts, or you don't know what, or all of that, Jesus says, you're mine. You believe in me, I believe in you. All of that is in the past. Let's move forward. And this is how we stay focused on living a clockwise life. Calculated and consistently moving forward in our journey with Jesus. Amen? So I'm going to wrap it up with this. I'll give you a quick summary. Living a clockwise life means that we are paying attention to how we live our lives. Making sure we are moving in wisdom as we discern what is the right thing or the wrong thing to do in this situation. Using our time wisely and being precise as to how we are acting and reacting to the things that are happening around us. And then most importantly, we need to stay in God's Word, stay close to Jesus, form lasting relationships with those around us, and move forward, not looking back. And then finally, in all that we do, we are to love God with every fiber of our being and love those around us no matter what. Amen? Let's pray. Man, Lord Jesus, first of all, I just thank you for holding off the rain today. I thank you, Jesus, for everybody here. I know that those who are within earshot of me today, you are here for a specific reason. And I believe with all my heart that there is something that God wants each one of you to do. There is a person in each one of our lives that God wants us to pay attention to. If there's something in your life that you think, well, I really need to clean this up, or I need to, listen, Jesus already knows. And as we enter into a time of worship in a few minutes, what I want to encourage you to do is have an honest conversation with Jesus about how you feel about yourself. And I believe, just like cleansing rains, He will wash those feelings away. And He will help you to move forward and not look back. Amen? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with a blessing. Lift up your hands. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. God bless you all. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday online. We'll see you September 6th here in person. And if you're